Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see y'all at the house of the Lord tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just praise you and I give you honor and I give you glory. Thank you for lifting your banner over us tonight, your banner of love, Father. Thank you for coming and supping with us. Thank you, Father God, for your angelic hosts that are going to and fro throughout these chairs tonight, ministering to your people, ministering salvation, ministering your love, ministering discernment and wisdom. And Father, be with us as you continue the night. As a teaching goes forth, Father, let it fall on receptive hearts and let it take root. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God spoke to me at home and he said, the reason why you're singing so much is because it's in the worship that I'm going to do the miracles. It's in the worship that my people's hearts will be changed. So if you're not getting anything out of the praise and worship, then you're not being changed. And believe me, every song we sing is God ordained. In fact, I had to change this evening's song list around because God changed the message. I got up early this morning and I was started to study, and I turned on my computer and there was an article, and God said, give that tonight. So that's what you're going to get. And Dudley Hall gave it, and it's entitled Extravagant Grace and Mercy. I have to tell you too, as we sat near, we was doing praise and worship, I started praying about someone, and God said, they want the filth, they want the dirt of the earth. They're going to get the filth and the dirt of the earth. I'll let them have it, and it will destroy them. So if you're in here tonight and you still want sin, then that's the filth and the dirt of the earth. God's going to let you have it, and it's going to take you out. So I'm just telling you what God told me. Let me ask you a question. How can you sit in the house of God with the love he pours out upon us and still have a sin nature? I am asking you that, and I want you to really search your soul. How can you still want to sin after sitting in his presence? Listening to the words of the songs, I've been telling you, listen to the words. Listening to the words of the songs and then still turn him away, I don't understand that. All right, Extravagant Grace and Mercy by Dudley Hall. Recently, I was walking on a Texas ranch filled with wildflowers. The blues, the reds, the oranges, the yellows were so bright they almost hurt my eyes. I stopped to examine my favorite, the deep purple wine cup. At least that's what we call them on this ranch. I sat beside it and looked carefully at the intricate design inside the cup. Fantastic, unbelievably beautiful in every detail. Do you really ever stop to look at the trees and the flowers and how each one is so different and so unique? And you ever stop to think that it was God that created all that? He created everything beautiful. Everything beautiful. There's nothing out there in nature that's disfigured. You know, they have on TV all the time this commercial about the little children that, you know, have the problems with their lips. I don't know what that's called. And I look at them, and Gabriel said to you the night, I can't really look at them anymore, Mama. They look bad. And God didn't create that child that way. Somewhere, somehow, they got mutated with medicines or drugs or something, you know, and it mutated these children. Why would God, you know, who is so perfect and so loving and so kind, place a distorted seed inside of a woman's womb? You have to think about that. We ourselves cause these mutations, is what I call them, by our sin nature and the things we put in our bodies and the sins and the things that we go through. You know, God's word says, for God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave and he gave and he gave. He's still giving. He gave us one precious gift, and that was his son. And God told me one time that he had to come back with his wrath because his people were trampling all over the blood of Jesus, and Jesus' blood was crying out for revenge. All right, Mr. Dudley went on to say, I contemplated again the thought that there were millions of them, you know, we're talking about these flowers, millions of them blooming all over the Southwest, and most of them would never be seen by a human eye. And he said, that's extravagant, I blurted out. Immediately, I seemed to hear a sound from heaven saying, I can afford it. Amen. It is no wonder that the Bible tells us that both the existence and eternal nature of God can be seen in creation. And you can read that in Romans 1, 19 and 20. It is no wonder that the Bible tells us that both the existence and eternal nature of God can be seen in creation. The human dilemma exists not because God is too small or too reticent, but because mankind has refused to embrace what can be easily seen. It's because mankind has refused to embrace what can be easily seen. God's love is all around us. It's everywhere. You can't miss God's love. But we, as human beings, overlook that love and we just plunder on in our sin and in our darkness. Refusing to acknowledge how big and good God is, we have created gods that more easily fit our limited understanding. If we really knew how good he is, we would enthusiastically worship him. If we really knew how good God is, we would enthusiastically worship him. It is blindness that prevents such a view. We desperately need new sight. God, wash my eyes with your eye salve. Cleanse them so I can see as you see. Restore unto me your eyesight so I can see through your eyes and see as you see and not as I see in the natural. In truth, God is always extravagant in his expression of love. He wants us all to know a kind of love that does not give in order for the sake of getting. I'll love you if. That is not God. That is not God. God just gives his love just because he loves us. God does for us just because we are his children. He doesn't ask for anything in return. He just loves us. It was such extravagance that moved him to create. God was completely happy within his own threefold unity, yet he delighted to create beings who could enjoy what he enjoys. We don't enjoy each other. We call ourselves children of God, but we don't enjoy each other. And see, that makes God weep. He wants us to enjoy one another, not use, abuse. But he wants us to enjoy one another. We're supposed to enjoy the children that he gives us, but we don't. We do all manner of evil against them. And one day when you stand before God, you're going to be held accountable for every evil thing you did to that child that God placed in your custody. Because, you know, they're his children. He just gives them to you to raise up in his ways. And this is what he told me. And then on judgment day, you're going to be judged at how you raised those children. All right, I said, in truth, God is always extravagant in his expression of love. He wants us all to know a kind of love that does not give in order for the sake of getting. It was such extravagance that moved him to create. He was completely happy within. See, we're not happy within. So we're looking outwardly for things to make us happy, and nothing's going to make you happy. Your happiness has to come within. Within his own threefold unity, yet he delighted to create beings who could enjoy what he enjoys. When the first couple, Adam and Eve, chose to trust another's explanation of reality, God was extravagant in covering their shame and providing a way for them to live even in their exile. You see that? When the first couple, Adam and Eve, chose to trust another's explanation of reality, God was extravagant in covering their shame and providing a way for them to live even in their exile. Later, he was extravagant in revealing himself to Noah, who saved a race by following God's instructions. His extravagance was again seen in his promise to Abram that he would bring blessings on the earth rather than curses. He was extravagant in the mighty miracles of deliverance of Abraham's descendants from Egypt. He was extravagant in the mighty miracles of deliverance of Abraham's descendants from Egypt. He fed them bread from heaven and water from a rock, and he defeated their enemies. That's extravagant love. He was extravagant in blessing the kingdom of David and in granting wisdom to Solomon. He was extravagant in blessing the kingdom of David and in granting wisdom to Solomon. When both Israel and Judah went into captivity because of their refusal to respond to his extravagant love, he again displayed his love in moving Cyrus to release a remnant to rebuild their city and temple. But all that was a small foretaste of his grandest display of extravagant love. God gave himself to become a man so that he could endure the death sin had earned us all. As the Son of Man, Jesus lived to show what love looks like in human form. You know, as the Son of Man, Jesus lived to show what love looks like in human form. We don't represent love. The majority of the body of Christ does not represent love. And that really upsets God, because you claim that Jesus lives within you and Jesus is love. He went to the cross for you and I, and he died. He went through that terrible beating before, then he died. Went to hell, defeated hell, even though we rejected him, and even though they cursed him and spit on him at the cross, he still went to hell, defeated hell, then rose again, walked the earth and talked to his disciples more than one time, and then finally went to heavenly places and sat at the right hand of his Father, and he's still praying for us. He is still forever interceding for us. And we're down here doing our thing, not being the vessels of love that he's called us forth to be. You know, in my own life, I feel that anybody that lives in my home, I should provide for them. And I feel very, very bad if I can't provide properly for them, because they're in my home and under my care, and I should be the one to provide. And I really think that's how Jesus is. We are his children, and we are walking with him, and he wants to provide for us. He wants to be our provider. His word says that he is our source. He's our provision. Why is it that? Because he loves us that much. You know, we do not exalt God enough. We do not lift him up. We do not give him what he deserves. And God, into this whole revival, 2-week revival, God has been pouring out his love upon us. Some have changed and some have not. Today God was weeping about that. He said, I have nothing more to give. Nothing more to give. They have chosen death over life. He doesn't have anything else to give. Jesus is our all in all. He's sitting in heavenly places, looking down and weeping over those who have rejected him. There's nothing else he can do. So if you're expecting him to do something else, he can't. He can't. We learned earlier in a couple lessons we need to fight. We need to keep ourselves set free. Jesus already paid the ultimate price. There's nothing else he can do, except sit in the heavenly places and look down and weep because you refuse to receive his love. As a Son of Man, Jesus lived to show what love looks like in human form. He fed thousands with a few pieces of bread and fish and had basketfuls left over. He healed every kind of disease. He cast out every level of demonic power. He forgave the worst of sinners and opened the eyes of the blindest people on earth. And he forgave. Let's read that list again. As a Son of Man, Jesus lived to show what love looks like in human form. He fed thousands with a few pieces of bread and fish and had basketfuls left over. He healed every kind of disease. He cast out every level of demonic power. He forgave the worst of sinners and opened the eyes of the blindest people on earth. And he forgave. We are about the most unforgiving people I've ever run across. Well, you just don't know. I don't really care to know. God said, if you can't forgive, then he can't forgive you either. If you can't walk in love, then there's nothing else he can do for you. Jesus forgave. He's still forgiving you, even though you're still trampling on his blood by your sin. He's still forgiving you. And what are you doing with all that? Absolutely nothing. All right, I said, and he forgave. No sin was too great. No stronghold was too secure. He set people free, many of whom never turned to follow him. He could afford the mercy. Don't tell me you can't afford to show mercy to somebody. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. If Jesus is living on the inside of you, then you can show the same mercy that Jesus showed to others. He shows you that mercy, so why can't you show mercy to others? He gives you love when you're unlovable, so why can't you love the unlovable? He forgives and he forgives and he forgives, and I'm hearing him say, and I forget. But we don't do that. The body of Christ, you know, this somebody wrote a little note in the offering and said that, thank you for having the revival of love. And, you know, the revival, I think, is called The River's Running Wide and Deep, isn't it? And see, that's God's love. He's the river. And like today, when you were laying on the floor and God said, I want you to anoint these people with water, not oil, but with water. I'm washing them with the water of the word. See how awesome God is. All about the river. All about his love. All right, I said then, he set people free, many of whom never turned to follow him. He could afford the mercy. Then he carried out the plan of the Godhead. He died in our place that we could live. Don't you even understand that? He died in your place so you could live and live life more abundantly. After his resurrection, he ascended to the throne in heaven, having all the spoils of his victory. And again, he extravagantly gave gifts to his people. He gives, and he gives, and he gives, and he gives. These were not just trinkets or toys. The gift was the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You have the Holy Spirit living within inside of you, so therefore you can do anything that God tells you to do. If you don't want to walk in love, it's because it's not that you can't, it's that you don't want to. If you don't forgive others, it's because you just don't want to, it's not because you can't. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you to do all things, not just some. God again gave himself to live inside believers. He gave again so he could live inside of us. So that each could enjoy the continual fellowship of shared life with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See, all this is truly unthinkable to the human mind. That's why you need to get your stupid human mind out of your head and get the mind of Christ. So you can understand the Word. Understand what God really did. I don't understand selfishness. I really don't. I don't understand somebody will deliberately do something to make somebody go astray. I don't understand that. I don't understand somebody who would continually berate somebody. I don't understand that, because God doesn't do that. There's a whole lot of things I don't understand that's going on in the body of Christ. I mean, I do. I know it's because the enemy has control of your mind, your will, and your emotions. But what I don't understand is why. When God so freely gives over and over and over again, why? All of this is truly unthinkable to the human mind. God has extravagantly given us the privilege of unbroken fellowship with Him. Unbroken fellowship. Forgiven of our sins, freed from our shame, empowered by His Spirit. We live with the dignity of being His parents on earth in the business of displaying the extravagant love of God for His creation. All right, I said, forgiven of our sins, freed from our shame, empowered by His Spirit, we live with the dignity of being His partners on earth in the business of displaying the extravagant love of God for His creation. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. That's not extravagant love. If you don't look at me just right, I'm not going to love you no more. Well, you won't have sex with me, so therefore I'm finding somebody else. On and on and on it goes. And none of it's anything about love. It's all about lust. The lust of the eyes. It's not about love. I don't want to hear anybody who's been in this 2 weeks revival ever say to me again, well, but God isn't good to me. I don't want to hear that. God is so good to you. You say that because if you really admit that God is good to you, if you really admit that God loves you, then you have to quit your sin nature. And you don't want to quit your sin nature. So therefore you use the excuse, well, God doesn't love me. God didn't do this. God didn't do that. Well, you know, you're not the only one in the boat. There's a whole lot of people that could say that, but we don't. Because we know that our Father loves us. We know that we all have to go through trials and tribulations. We all know that we're going to suffer for the sake of Christ. But all in all, God loves us. He loves us. It would be the perfect example of mockery to define this extravagance primarily in terms of financial or material luxury. There are some who justify their own gaudy excessiveness on the basis of God's extravagant love. I'm talking about the faith thing where ask and you receive, take, take, take. They reveal a misguided appraisal. Now, there was a time in church history when I first started where God gave us the desires of our hearts because he loved us so much. He loves us so much. He allowed us to have big cars, big ministries, ask and you shall receive ministry. That was true. It was a faith ministry. But the church abused that gift of God. They took His gifts of love and perverted them and then left God for all the pleasures they received. It makes the world look at us through jaded eyes. Because here God just blessed us abundantly. And we're out there sinning. We're out there bilking money out of the people. I hate it when I turn on the TV and somebody said, if you just send in blah, 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 dollars, God's going to answer your prayer. No. No, 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 no. And if you fall into that, you're messed up too. God will answer your prayers without no money. And these are just ministries that have gotten in there and just are bilking the people of their money. I don't even like to listen to a lot of Christian TV because that's all they're doing nowadays because times are hard. Money is not as excessive as what it was. And you have to cut back. And they don't want to cut back. They're just digging deeper into your pockets, making you think that if you buy a special bottle of oil or a handkerchief or something like that, don't fall into that trap. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, God is still going to allow us comfort. I'm talking about just material things. But it is not about the comforts of life. It is all about his extravagant love toward us to the point of total turnaround and repentance. You know, if you start taking the gifts that God has given you for granted, God's going to start letting you struggle a little bit. You wonder why some of us are wondering why, how come we've lost everything? Well, you know, this isn't the main reason for a lot of people, but a lot of people took for granted the things that God gave them. They didn't share them. You know, they kept them, they hoarded them to their bosom. And so God had to then take things away from you to show you that without him, you will have nothing. And whatever he gives us, we're supposed to share. And love is the biggest thing he could ever have given us. And we're supposed to share that love. God's extravagance. Now, where am I at? Is that where I'm at? God's extravagance is shown in giving himself, not in boasting in his resources. You know, when you give yourself to somebody else, that is the love of God coming forth through you. You know, whenever you give of yourself, when you really don't feel like giving of yourself, you know, where you're tired, you're wore out, you have stuff up over your head, but yet somebody needs you, and so you give yourself to them. That's love. Unconditional love. Every one of you in here have children or grandchildren. You know, sometimes they can wear on you. Sometimes they want your attention whenever you really don't have attention to give them, but you give it to them anyhow. Why? Because you love them. That's why you do that. You have a husband or wife that needs your attention, and you really don't feel like giving them attention right then. You just want to go rest. But because the love of God is in you, you give them the attention they need. Are you listening here? You don't say, come back some other time and I'll sit and talk to you. Jesus doesn't say that to you. You, when you call on God, you expect him to be right there on hand to answer your prayer, to speak to you, to drop his love on you, because you're right at that point. You just feel like you're so unloved. You're so unworthy. And you just need to know that God is still there and God is still loving you. So he drops his presence on you. He wraps his arms around about you. And that gives you something to go on for another day, maybe just another second. God was rich and became poor so that we could have the riches of reconciliation with God. Find that in 2 Corinthians 8:9. You know, Jesus was rich. He had everything. He was sitting in heavenly places. And he became poor so that we could have the riches of reconciliation with God. Those who know his extravagant love are so enamored with him. Their earthly possessions, whether great or meager, are mere tools with which to carry out his mission. They are never used to measure success or exercise power over others. They are never used to measure success or exercise power over others. All this takes some getting used to for some. I just love him. And I love the fact he's extravagant with his love towards me. I just thank God every day that he forgives me as I forgive others. I just thank God every day that he is always there, no matter how upset I might be, but he's always there to say, it's okay, come on, get back up again. Let's go a little further today. Let's not take any backward steps. Let's keep going forward. What you did isn't so bad you have to stay down. Get back up again. He's always extending his hand of love, always. Living with an extravagant God stretches our perspective of reality. Living with an extravagant God stretches our perspective of reality. Those who have lived so long in spiritual poverty tend to think God is a penny pincher. You know, In the Bible it says the poor you always have with you. And we always have the poor around about us. Why is that? I don't know. But I know one thing. God wants to extravagantly bless us. Abundantly bless us. He's been promised us our coffers will be full and overflowing so that we will have enough for ourselves and enough to give into other people's bosoms. God is not a man that he should lie. His word is absolutely, positively, completely true. There's not a false word in the Bible. So all we need to do is just right now tonight is just accept God's extravagant love for us. If you doubt that your particular sin could be forever forgiven or that your request is too much to ask, I remind you that God can afford to forgive you. Over and over and over and over and over again. Amen. Every day, Satan is going to do something to hurt you. You have to make the choice every day to walk in love and to forgive and forget. We don't carry around grudges. We don't keep beating people over the head with what they've done, either in the past or in the future, right now, today. We forgive and we forget, for God is love. You know, I really love this song, "Amazing Grace." This is "Amazing Grace" by Phil Wickham. I don't really believe y'all understand what that song is really saying. We're going to play that song right now. And we're going to play it loud. We didn't play the song loud enough this morning. We're going to play it loud, not real quiet. Because I want the people to hear. And I don't mean blast this out of the room. I mean play it like we would if we were going to sing to it. Because this morning you played it so low they couldn't hear it. And it didn't have the effect that God wanted. See, you have to do the song right or it won't do what God wants to do. Now, this is "Amazing Grace" is so powerful that it should literally change your mindsets. It should literally change the way you think and the way you feel and the way you act. If you really listen to the song and see what it's really telling you, it will change your life. Now, what I want you to do, you're going to listen to the song. And then if you really, really, really understand what God is doing for you, then I want you to come up to the altar and God's going to place that extravagant love anointing on you so that you can love all things, everybody. I didn't say you're not going to get upset with somebody every now and then. I didn't, you know, that would be saying that we've already passed from human to in God's spirit, you know, a spirit being. We are always going to get upset, but that doesn't mean we hold grudges. That doesn't mean that we don't forgive. And that doesn't mean that we don't forget. But it does mean we continue to love. So I'm going to be sitting down while this song is being played. And if you think that you really understand what this song is saying to you, and you want God's extravagant love anointing to be placed on you, you come to the altar and let God minister to you. You know, the love of God is in there so strong. And this morning, Gabriel said to me, he tapped me on the leg while we was praising the Lord. He said, Mom, for some reason, I just started crying. I can't quit crying. And he said, my eyes are all sparkly and all I see is sparkly things. I said, the Holy Spirit just settled on you, sweetie. He's just ministering to you. Just go ahead and receive it. You know, he's touching the little kids too. And God told me to quit being biased and just believe and just receive his love, his unconditional love, and then take it to the world. He's not going to give you this anointing to hold onto yourself in your bosom. You're supposed to be taking it to the world. Father, I just feel your love just dropping on us right now. And Father God, please change the cold hearts that are in here tonight. And let them no longer be foreigners, Father God, but let them be your children in righteousness and in holiness, receiving the love of Jesus Christ the way you want us to receive it when he went to that cross. And Father, each stripe that was laid upon him and ripping his flesh off poured out more and more love upon your people. Take us higher tonight. Take us into that depth of you, Father God, that we've never been to before. Change and rearrange, Lord. Let us get up off this floor tonight refreshed, renewed, reinvigorated. Let us get up, Father God, full of the love of Christ. And just like the pastor that received your love, he just ran loving the trees too, Father. And Father, I thank you for your anointing that destroys every yoke. I thank you for your people here tonight to sit in your presence and to receive your miracle. In Jesus' name, Father God, we thank you. Amen. If you're not a vessel of love, then he can't use you. This is what it's all about. He's been trying to get his love to permeate the very core of our being so that he can send us forth as love vessels, because he said the world is full of hate. And as it gets darker, there's going to be more hate. And he needs us to go forth as love vessels with our light. And let our light of love shine in a dark, dark world. We have to go forth prepared to lay down our life for the lost and the dying. You must go forth in total victory in your heart first. For as you allow me to remove all darkness and to bring my love into your heart, then you will be able and be ready to go forth and to minister to the lost and dying. They are perishing by the second, and I cannot get my body to love as I love. I cannot get my body to forgive as I forgive. Therefore, many souls are dying and going to hell every second of every day that should not be going into everlasting darkness. I'm asking you tonight to receive the anointing of extravagant love that I am trying to place upon you. Receive it so that you are love vessels that I can work through. Vessels of honor and glory. Vessels that have been purified in the furnace of affliction. Vessels that have said, it doesn't matter what, Lord, I'm going on with you. It doesn't matter how many trials or tribulations you've had to go through. You're ready to keep walking with love. You're ready to keep walking with forgiveness. You're ready to keep walking with purity of heart, holding my hand and knowing that I will never let you go. Do you know what it took for me to stand by and watch my son be crucified? Do you know how my heart bled that day? Do you understand the pain that I had to go through just so you could sit one day with me? Do you know how my heart bleeds even more today to watch you crucify him over and over and over again? Because you won't love, you won't forgive, you won't forget. Do you understand I have a father's heart? And that was my son that took those scourgings and carried his cross and hung on that cross and cried out to me, Father, why have you forsaken me? That was my son. I had to stand by and watch it all happen. Oh, you stand by and you watch the videos of my son being crucified, but you really don't know the depth of the crucifixion. You don't know the depth of the pain. You don't know the depth of the agony that he endured. You just don't understand. And it was all because of love. Did he not hang on the cross and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? He still had love for you at his last breath. Still cried out for me to look at you through eyes of love. You don't understand. But you could if you would just bow to my anointing of love tonight. Forget self and stand in my love. For those of you in here tonight who are lost and perishing, I stand before you as your Father. I have my arms open wide, and I am saying, come running into my arms. Come running into my love. Come running into my forgiveness, and find peace for your weary soul.